Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, January 28, 2025, Zachariah.
Now, I was watching some of you in that last doctrinal song. And you, I could tell, you missed how important that was with what we're studying in Zechariah. You missed it completely. The forefathers of the returnees in Zechariah's day, the forefathers in Jeremiah's day, they boogied when they should have woogied, and they woogied when they should have boogied, and they came under the fifth cycle of discipline. Now, question is, how about America? Are we going to boogie when we should be woogieing, or woogie when we should be boogieing? Well, we're either the part of the problem or we're a part of the solution. That was a very doctrinal song. Plus, it was a World War II song, one of the great times in our nation's history. Oh, well, it just kind of just goes over the top of you. You got a lot of people. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Tom Gilbreth, who now writes for in the Hal Lindsey, had an article, Hope and Darkness, with the inauguration of a new United States president. Hope is surging through a big portion of the population. Meanwhile, another part of the country eyes President Trump and his new administration with wariness, and some even with dread. Still others shrug and say, politicians make promises, get elected, take office, and then real life happens. And in a way they have a point. Donald Trump never expected COVID in his first term. The 9/11 terror attacks caught George W. Bush and the rest of Washington by surprise. Ronald Reagan was shot, something that no one expected. The unforeseen hits every leader. We tend to judge them by how they handle the surprises and by whether they keep their promises in spite of them. One of the most used quotes in recent years comes from, of all people, a boxer, Mike Tyson. It's quoted a lot because it applies to so many things. The quotation is this: everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. President Trump has the rare opportunity of a 4-year gap between his terms. He had time to think and to plan, to consider what he should have done differently the first time. Usually a president gets more done in his first term than his second. But because of the 4-year gap and the experience President Trump gleaned during his first administration, this could very easily be an exception. Still, the punch in the mouth will come. If you love God, and if you love America, then pray for America's leaders. Pray for our president. Pray for this administration. Pray at this pivotal hour when things can go in so many different directions. Most conservative Bible teachers believe that we are nearing the end of the age, the church age. We who love Jesus are called to be the salt and the light. What does that mean? To be the pivot of spiritually mature believers. As goes the believer, so goes the client nation of God. And therefore, as believers, we need to be salt. We need to be the salt of America. We need to be the light. The pivot of mature believers is the salt, is the light. Our influence should be broad and deep, always with the highest motivations. We don't know what 2025 holds, nor any of the next 4 years. But we know who holds us, and we know who is in control. Jesus Christ controls history. Therefore, keep a spring in your step and a smile on your face. We are citizens of God's kingdom. And Romans 14:17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace." And this peace is reconciliation, impersonal love for all. That's virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That's the ultimate objective for why we're here, to have virtue love brought to completion in our heart. And joy, plus H, sharing the happiness of God. How? By means of the Holy Spirit. Let's live like that. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has chosen you to be on His side. So be at peace, virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and walk. Walk in joy, plus H. Live the spiritual life, walk in the light, and not in darkness. Zechariah. Oh, this is a great, great Old Testament book, Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 1, 1 to 3, corrected translation sounds like this. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, and Darius is a spiritually mature believer, here is an Iranian, they called it Persia back then, he's an Iranian, spiritually mature believer. There was a large pivot of mature believers in Iran at this time. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the prophet, who is the son of Berechiah and the grandson of Iddo. The Lord was very angry, with a great anger, with your forefathers. That is the Jews in the time of Jeremiah. Therefore, say to them, to the remnant of returnees coming back to Judah, thus says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty, turn back to me, declares the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty. This is exactly the issue today in the United States of America. Turn back to the Lord of the armies. Turn back to the Lord Almighty. Repent. Change your attitude toward God and the Word of God. And I will turn back to you. That is, the righteousness and justice of God will change from discipline and judgment to blessing, says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty. And then in verses 4 through 6, and we just got started, we're partway have exegeted part of verse 4. But in verses 4 through 6, Zechariah now gives a dire warning. He is telling these Jews that Cyrus gave the decree first of all, and then Darius followed up on it, and all of these Jews returned to the southern kingdom, Judah, and Cyrus and Darius wanted the Jews to rebuild the temple so that they could worship the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is a dire warning. You have just returned. You have just returned from 70 years in exile. 70 years in slavery. In Jeremiah's day, your forefathers turned away from God and turned away from the Word of God. They entered into great apostasy and degeneracy, which resulted in the fifth cycle of national discipline, resulted in military invasion, national destruction by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldean army. They went through horrific suffering and personal and national disaster. Zechariah is warning this remnant of returnees. They've returned back to the southern kingdom, to Jerusalem, to learn the failures of your forefathers. Learn from their mistakes. Learn from their bad decisions. Learn from that. And don't do the same things they did. Verse 4, we've exegeted just part of verse 4. Do not be like your forefathers, the Jews in the day of Jeremiah, to whom the earlier prophets, that is Jeremiah and Hosea, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, saying, thus says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty. And then, Turn now. Turn from your evil ways and from your evil doing. That's the King James Version. We always start with that. We have here the cal imperative of the verb shuv with the particle na, plus the preposition men, prefixed to the plural noun derek. Well, Derek's in the Hebrew. When Dawid, David's in the Hebrew too. He wrote most of the Psalms. Wait, good to go. Good job by you. We have the plural noun derek with the second person plural suffix, plus the plural of the adjective ra with the definite article, plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the plural of the noun ma. Alal with the second person plural suffix, plus the plural of the adjective ra, repeated. Once again, we have the verb shuv. Shuv is the verb for biblical repentance. Repentance is a very biblical doctrine, very important doctrine in the Word of God. But this time, it is the former prophets warning their forefathers, the Jews in the day of Jeremiah, to repent, to turn back to God and turn back to the Word of God. And that's what needs to happen with all of these believers in America today, to turn back to God and to turn back to the Word of God. So shuv means to return, to turn back. The imperative mood is a command. It's a mandate from the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty. But in their great arrogance and negative volition, they did not change their thinking. They did not repent. They did not turn back to God and His Word. And therefore, they came under the judgment of the fifth cycle of discipline, the military invasion by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans. And they endured total destruction of the southern kingdom Judah, and the slaughter of the Jewish people, old men, women, children, were slaughtered. Now there were a few survivors, not many, but a few, who went on a death march back to Babylon and in slavery for 70 years. With the imperative of the verb shuv, we have the particle of exhortation, na. Na expresses an admonition, a warning. And with the imperative, it expresses an exhortation and is correctly translated, turn back now, before it's too late. Turn back now before it's too late. And that's the message for America today, to most Christians in America. Turn back to God and His Word now before it's too late. Now we have in verse 4, we have what they are to repent from. And there's two things. Repent from your evil ways and repent from your evil doings. First of all, number one, change your thinking concerning your evil ways. We have the preposition men, and men looks like this. M-I-N, men. And men is the preposition of separation. Repentance demands a change of thinking. It demands a separation from your evil ways. And this is the adjective, and it just sounds, you know this is evil. Rock. Sounds like you're getting ready to Ralph. Rock. And wrath means evil, including the human good and evil policy of Satan. It means bad. It means reversionistic. And it modifies the noun derek. D-E-R-E-K. Derek. All right, a couple of things with about this Hebrew noun, Derek. First of all, literally, Derek means a way or a road or a path. Literally, it means a way, a road, a path. It's not used that way here, however. Point two, figuratively, Derek means a way of life, a course of life. Three, modified by the adjective ra, as in our verse, it is used in a bad sense, evil way of life. So the command, turn back, repent, change your thinking concerning your evil way of life. Four, the reversionistic believer chooses to live a life living in Satan's cosmic system. The reversionistic believer chooses to live a life in Satan's cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. Now, there are many passages in the scriptures that teach this, and we're going to hope you brought your Bible. All right, you did. Great. Let's turn over to Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah 18. And this is perfect, Jeremiah, because Jeremiah was God's servant in the time of the forefathers of these returnees that Zechariah is teaching. So here is God's servant. Jeremiah was a great, great Bible teacher. But you know what? The believers in the southern kingdom, Judah, they didn't like Jeremiah. They didn't like him. They hated him. They rejected. They didn't listen to what he said. They didn't like what he had to say. They even tried to kill him. Jeremiah survived, but they all died, except for a few who were taken into slavery back to Babylon. So here we have Jeremiah. 18 verse 11. Now therefore say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you. The Lord is preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways. Repent. You have to repent. Turn back to the living and true God. Turn back to Jesus Christ. Turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. But they, these believers in Jeremiah's day, they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans, our own thinking. They had their own plans. They weren't interested in God's plan. They had their own plan. And we will continue with our own plans. Each of us will follow. Now you might, here I have the stubbornness of his evil heart. Now, what is the stubbornness of his evil heart? These are believers with scar-tissued hearts. Scar-tissued hearts. Well, when you're living in Satan's cosmic system, when you're living out of fellowship with God, when you have negative volition and arrogance and reject God and the Word of God, you develop scar tissue on your heart. And they have their own plans, and they are going to operate by their evil, scar-tissued hearts. We will follow the stubbornness of our evil heart, scar-tissued heart. Now turn over to Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25. Verse 4, and though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, and these are the Lord's servants. Now, these were prophets in the Old Testament. Today, God's servants are pastor teachers. The pastor, their faithful pastor, is the servant of the Lord. I am his slave. I'm the Lord's slave. I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't be anything but the slave of the Lord, the servant of the Lord. I'm here to serve him, and I'm only here for one reason, to proclaim the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures to believers who have positive volition and humility, respect for the authority of God, his word, and the servant of the Lord who teaches that word. So here, and though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened. You have not listened or paid it any attention to the teaching of the Word of God. They said to you, turn now, each of you, repent, change your thinking, turn from your evil ways and your evil practices, and you can stay in the land. If you do that, you can stay in the land the Lord gave to you and your fathers forever and ever, if you do that. That's a third class condition. If maybe you will, maybe you won't. They didn't. Look over at chapter 25 verse 8, or maybe you don't have to look over, just look down. Jeremiah 25 verse 8. Therefore the Lord Almighty, this is Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, says this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north, and my servant, notice, the Lord uses evil one, the Chaldeans under Nebuchadnezzar, and he now is God's servant, the Lord's servant, to carry out the fifth cycle of discipline on evil too. And that very easily could happen to the United States of America as well. I will summon all the peoples of the north, and my servant, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord, and I will bring them against this land, Judah, against the southern kingdom, Judah. I will bring them against this land, fifth cycle of national discipline, and its inhabitants, and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and scorn and an everlasting ruin. I will banish from them the sounds of happiness and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, the sound of millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole country will become a desolate wasteland. And these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years in slavery. Turn over to Jeremiah 26, or look over Jeremiah 26, verse 3. Jeremiah 26, verse 3. Perhaps they will listen, and each will turn from his evil way. And then I will relent and not bring on them the disaster I was planning because of the evil they have done. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. If you do not listen to me and follow my law, the word of God, which I have set before you, and if you do not listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I have sent to you again and again, though you have not listened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and this city an object of cursing among all the nations of the earth. Turn over to Psalm 36. Psalm 36. Psalm 36, the human author is David. Spiritually mature believer David. Most of the Psalms were the human author was David. Verse 1. An oracle is within my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. That's the reversionist. There is no fear of God before his eyes. That means category number one, fear of the Lord, no humility, no respect for God, his word, and the servant who teaches it. There is no occupation with Jesus Christ. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For in his own eyes, he flatters himself. He thinks he's really great. Thinks he's really a great believer. He's not. But he flatters himself into thinking he is a great believer. Too much to detect or hate his own sin. The words of his mouth are evil and deceitful. Sins of the tongue. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. Even on his bed he plots evil. He commits himself to a sinful course and does not reject what is wrong. Psalm 36, 1 to 4. Turn over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel 3, verse 17. Son of man, this is the Lord addressing Ezekiel. So when you see in Ezekiel, son of man, this is the Lord addressing Ezekiel. Son of man here is Ezekiel. That's the Lord's servant. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them, Israel, the Jewish people, give them a warning from me, the living and true God. When I say to the reversionist, you will surely die, and then you, my servant, you do not warn him of this through your teaching, or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life. So here you go, servant of the Lord. If you don't warn these believers, and in the church age, there are no prophets, but the pastor is the servant of the Lord. And it's right now, we need more than ever before in America, faithful pastors, warning believers in America of where we're headed. If we keep going the way we're going, we're going to be just like Judah in the time of Jeremiah. So he says, so hear the word I speak and give them this warning from me, the living and true God. When I say to a reversionist, you will surely die, but you don't warn him, you, my servant, you don't warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that reversionist will die for his sin. And I will hold you accountable for his blood. So the servant better be doing, the faithful servant teaches the word of God. Everybody wants the pastor to pat you on the head and tell you how great you all are and how wonderful you all are. But the sad thing is, in America, most believers are not great and they're not wonderful. And they're a part of the problem and they're not a part of the solution. And if the faithful pastor, if I don't teach exactly the God-breathed scriptures and what the Word of God says, then that's on me. That's on me. And I will be removed. I'll be removed from the ministry, removed from the pulpit. Very simple. I'm the Lord's slave. I'm his servant. I'm only here as he keeps me here. If I'm doing the job he put me here to do, why, I get, believe it or not, double blessing. That's pretty great, isn't it? If I don't, I get double cursing. So I either get double blessing or double cursing. But I'm here to teach exactly what the God I am such a silver-tongued orator. God could use this pen to communicate his word way better than me. Way, way better than me. But he decided to use a human being. So, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that reversionist will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the reversionist and he does not turn from his reversionism or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have delivered yourself. You know, pastor would love to be living in a time when the nation has a huge pivot of mature believers, and the nation is blessed because of that large pivot of mature believers. But sometimes we live in times when there's a very small pivot of mature believers, and that's where the faithful pastor, it's his responsibility to warn believers all throughout client nation America. Warn believers. This is critical time in our nation's history. And I love America. I love this nation. I love what that flag stands for. I love the freedoms we have. And when I was at Dallas Theological Seminary, I thought I would never see this day in America. I thought I would never see this day. But it's here. And my job is to warn the royal family of God. Turn over to Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33. Verse 11, Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure. This is God now, the living and true God. He takes no pleasure in the death of the reversionist, administering the sin unto death. There's no pleasure in God for doing that. He wants to bless us. And we know that from our Sunday class in Romans. The plan of God for us is to bless us, give us blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. He wants to bless us. He doesn't want to see us crash and burn and die the sin unto death. He has no pleasure in administering. He will, because He's a holy God, absolute righteousness and perfect justice. But He takes no pleasure in it. He wants to bless us. So this is a great verse. Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the reversionist, administering the sin unto death, but rather that they turn from their ways, repent, change their thinking, turn back to the living and true God and His Word. Turn from their evil ways. Why will you die the sin unto death, O house of Israel? And we could put that today. Why will you die the sin unto death, royal family of God and client nation USA? God's plan is so awesome and fantastic. He wants to bless us, bless us, bless us, bless us. Now, second, number two, change your thinking concerning your evil doings. So the other one was evil ways, Derek. Now we have evil doing. The conjunction vav is connective vav. You translate that and. Once again, the adjective ra, evil, bad, reversionistic. And once again, this is evil as the policy of Satan. This time, ra modifies the noun ma'alal. Ma'alal. That's M-A-I-N-A-L-A-L. Ma'alal. All right, a couple things. Ma'alal, first of all, it means deeds or practice. It's always in the plural, by the way. Always in the plural. Deeds or practices. Secondly, when modified by the adjective ra, as in our verse, it means evil practices or evil MO, modus operandi, evil practices, evil MO. Three, their forefathers, the Jews in Jeremiah's day, refused to repent. Their forefathers, the Jews in Jeremiah's day, refused to repent. Four, they refused to change their evil MO, their evil practices. So the corrected translation, do not be like your forefathers, the Jews in the day of Jeremiah, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, saying, thus says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty, change your thinking. Turn from your evil ways, your evil way of life, and turn from your evil MO, your evil practices. And then the verse goes on, but they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. We have the conjunction vav prefixed to the negative lo, plus the cal perfect of shamah, plus the conjunction vav prefixed to the negative lo, joined by a makef, to the hifil perfect of kashav, plus the preposition el with the first person singular suffix, plus the construct of na'am, joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton. The conjunction involved this time is the conjunction of contrast, correctly translated, but. And then the verb shama. S-H-A-M-A-I, shama. But it's shama with the objective negative low. Now shamah is a great verb, but shamah with low is reversionism. So one, shamah literally means to hear or to listen. To hear or to listen. Two, it means to listen with attention. It means to listen with interest. It means to listen with concentration. It means to listen with positive volition and humility. And for us today in the church age, that demands that you be in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit. The most important thing when you assemble in Upland Bible Church is to make sure you're in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit. Because if you're not filled with the Spirit, then you're not going to listen with attention, or with interest, or with concentration, or with positive volition, or humility. Three, however, when you have the negative low, which is what we have, it means to pay no attention. To pay no attention. To listen with negative volition and arrogance. Then the conjunction vav is repeated, introducing a second function of their negative volition and arrogance. And this is the verb kashav. Looks like that in the Hebrew. That's Q-A-S-H-A-B. Kashav. One, kashav literally means to incline your ear. Let me see you do that. Literally means to incline your ear, to attend with your ears. Two, we have the hifil stem, and the hifil stem, as you know, is the causative stem of the Hebrew. It means to be caused or to be motivated. Causation is motivation. It means to be caused or motivated to give attention to the teaching of God's servants. Now, in Zechariah's day, Jeremiah's day, those were the prophets. Today in the church age, God's servants are pastor teachers. So the hifil stem is the causative stem of the Hebrew. It means to be caused or motivated to give attention to the teaching of God's servants. 3. But once again, we have the negative low. And the negative low says, because of their arrogance and their negative volition, they absolutely do not give attention to, they do not concentrate on the teaching of the Word of God by God's servants. But once again, the negative low says, because of their arrogance and negative volition, they absolutely do not give attention to, they do not concentrate on the teaching of the Word of God by God's servants. 4. The hifil stem. They were not motivated to assemble in Bible class. They were not motivated to listen to Jeremiah teach the absolute truth of God's word. They were not motivated to assemble in Bible class. They were not motivated to listen to Jeremiah teach the absolute truth of God's word. And Jeremiah was a great, great servant of the Lord. Great servant. It broke his heart. It broke his heart. As God's servant, God protected Jeremiah, put a wall of fire around Jeremiah. Jeremiah was sitting up on the hill as the Chaldeans under Nebuchadnezzar came in, and he sat there and watched the destruction of Jerusalem, destruction of the temple, the slaughtering of the people. He saw it all, and it broke his heart. And he saw the survivors being marched out back to Babylon for 70 years of slavery. It broke Jeremiah's heart. He warned them. Repent. Change your thinking. Turn back to God and His Word. And this is where we are in America. Turn back to God and His Word. We have lots of believers in America. The sad point is that the pivot is very small and shrinking. If pivot increases, if these believers come to their senses and rebound, get back into fellowship with God, and then seek out a sound Bible teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, the pivot will increase. And that will deliver our nation from the fifth cycle of discipline, so we don't go through what these returnees forefathers went through in Jeremiah's day. 5. The Lord spoke to the Jewish people through His faithful servants. The Lord spoke to the Jewish people through His faithful servants. In the Old Testament, these were prophets like Jeremiah and like Hosea. Six, the preposition el with the first person singular suffix is to me. And who is to me? To the Lord. To the Lord. 5. But they would not listen nor give attention to the Lord's teaching to them through these faithful communicators. You see, when you come here, you're not coming to listen to a man. You're coming here to see what the Lord has for you today. The Lord speaks through His servants. In the age of Israel, those servants were prophets. In the church age, those servants are pastors. And the Lord speaks through His servants. So you assemble in a sound Bible teaching church to come and learn what the Lord has for you today. What He has to you. And this, I'm not teaching my word. This is the word of God. This is the mind of Christ. This is the voice of the Spirit. This is God's word. So you come to find out what the Lord has for you today. But point seven, they would not listen nor give attention to the Lord's teaching to them through the Lord's faithful communicators. And then we have Na'um Jehovah. Na'um joined by a makef to the Tetragrammaton, which correctly translated declares the Lord. All right. Verse 4. This is what it sounds like. Do not be like your forefathers, the Jews in the day of Jeremiah, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, saying, Thus says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty, change your thinking, repent, turn from your evil ways, evil way of life, and turn from your evil MO, your evil practices. But they would not listen, and they would not give attention to me, declares the Lord. 1. Zechariah is giving a very stern warning to the Jews who are returning from exile. Zechariah is giving a very stern warning to the Jews who are returning from exile. Two, he is saying, don't be like your forefathers. Don't be like the Jews in the day of Jeremiah. Don't be like your forefathers, the Jews in the day of Jeremiah. Three, those Jews living in Jeremiah's day, they thought they were simply rejecting the teaching of a man. Those Jews living in Jeremiah's day, they thought they were simply rejecting the teaching of a man. Jeremiah. Four. But in reality, their negative volition and arrogance was rejection of the teaching of the Lord. In reality, they were rejecting the teaching of the Lord. They would not listen and they would not give attention to me, declares the Lord. Five, the term your forefathers is used four times in verses 2-6. The term your forefathers is used four times in verses 2-6. Six, Zechariah is warning the Israelites, do not follow in your forefathers' evil footsteps. Don't go down that path. He's warning the Israelites, do not follow in your forefathers' evil footsteps. Seven, they refused to listen to, and they refused, and they totally rejected the teaching of Jeremiah and Hosea, the Lord's faithful servants. They refused to listen to and totally rejected the teaching of Jeremiah and Hosea, the Lord's faithful servants. 8, they utterly disregarded the prophet's call to repentance, a change of thinking, to turn back to God and His Word. They utterly disregarded the prophet's call to repentance, to a change of thinking, to turn back to God and His Word. 9, Zechariah warned the Jewish people to repent, to turn back to God and His Word, to change your thinking. Zechariah warned the Jewish people to repent, to turn back to God and His Word, to change your thinking from negative volition to positive volition, from arrogance to humility. 10, Zechariah taught, don't fall into the failure of that generation that went under the fifth cycle of national discipline. Zechariah warned, don't fall into the failure of that generation that went under the fifth cycle of national discipline. Zechariah is saying, look at your forefathers. Look what happened to your forefathers. They came under the judgment of the fifth cycle of national discipline, and they wound up in slavery for 70 years. So you see, the returnees that are coming back, they are coming back all right. But they need to turn back to God. Every one of them need to turn back to God and His Word. And they need to get their spiritual priorities in order. And that means we need to rebuild the temple. And they wanted to rebuild the fortifications, the walls, and all that. And Zechariah says, no, we need to rebuild the temple, get our spiritual priorities in order, put God and His Word first. And then Zechariah will teach, don't worry about the no walls. The living and true God, Jesus Christ, will be a wall of fire around our nation and protect us if we turn back to God and His Word. If we put God first, if we put the Word of God first, if we rebuild the temple, get our priorities straight, what really matters. And that's what he's saying here. This is a very, very powerful what we have right. And this is just the beginning of Zechariah. Okay, well, isn't Zechariah a great book? Yeah, okay, thank you. Oh, yeah. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.